Welcome, horror fans, and thank you for downloading The Horror Show. Sit back while your hosts, Sean and Joe, take you back in time to review your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies from yesteryear with their own twisted comedic view. Your hosts will remind you why you loved or hated those classic horror movies and other horror-related events. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to The Horror Show.
Everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show, the show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe. Deep breath.
Yeah, that'll probably come out like crap on this. Joe.
You know what? I'm actually already going to interrupt you. At the end of our show each week, we give our plugs, and this time I just wanted to say that July 18th at the Matrix Convention Center in Danbury, Connecticut, we're going to be at the Connecticut Horror Fest, so if you're going, stop on by. Say what's up.
So you won't know, from anyone else in the crowd, but actually you might. I'll probably be
we'll just be walking around yelling.
Yeah, probably. We'll have something distinguishing. Just look for the guys. Looking really nervous and trying to talk to celebrities. So, yeah, I use that term very loosely. But, yeah, come on out and check that out because it's going to be it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, Doug Bradley's going to be there.
Oh, so many good.
You probably know from Wrong Turn 5.
Grandpa from Texas Chainsaw Massacre there.
Gunnar Hansen.
I refused to – okay, so his picture on the website of the convention is, of course, just the picture of Grandpa.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wonder what he looks like in real life. And then I was like, you know what? Not even going to do it. I'm gonna let that be a surprise. Because imagine if he's just like a 40-year-old guy.
He's a super
like
young guy. Yeah.
He was just 18 in the Grandpa mask. Like
that'd be so awesome.
I know. So I refuse to look at it. So when I see him, I'll either be like laughing or possibly crying, depending on the situation.
Mick Foley's going to be there. Michael Jai White. Who I'm super stoked. This is Black fucking Dynamite.
Spawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's awesome. You know his dad was an actor? Like a
Blaxploitation
actor? And that's why he started doing those extra ones. Yeah.
Felicia Rose is going to be there.
I think he played his dad in a movie, actually. Felicia Rose from Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does not have a penis. But
no. And she looks good.
She will be there. Yeah. She does look good.
She looks great.
And the Flatliners.
Yes, Joe's favorite band.
I love the Flatliners.
I know. I know.
But I wanted to say that before because I know a lot of people fast forward at the end.
When it's the end. I know. I was thinking about doing the same thing and I meant to write it down and I failed to do so.
If you're in Connecticut or the New York area, stop on
by. Check it out. It's in Danbury, Connecticut. So it's right on the western border of Connecticut. So if you're upstate New York, it's an easy drive.
July 18th.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And come find us. Maybe we'll just follow us on social media and we'll post like one photo of our faces. Just like,
we're being real awkward.
Yeah, like, this is us. We'll be standing alone in the corner if you want to come talk to us. It'll be fun. But, Joe.
Yes.
The movie we're going to talk about today, it's made in 1990.
Yeah.
When you think about the movies made in 1990,
you have Goodfellas, right?
You got the instant classic Goodfellas. Academy Award winning Dances with Wolves. You got critically acclaimed Hunt for Red October. It won a couple small awards, but it was critically acclaimed. Pretty Woman, Home Alone, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Frankenhooker.
The best of the lot.
I'm pretty sure that was considered like an Academy snub, right? That was one of those.
I can't believe it was 1990 that this was made.
Joe.
It felt like it was like at least 78.
Where did you watch yours? Did you obtain yours through nefarious means?
No.
Well, the reason I ask is I watched mine through Hulu.
Okay.
And it must be like the ultra remastered edition.
Really?
It was crystal clear HD.
No, so this isn't my first time seeing it. I did rent it with that awesome VHS box. But that was actually kind of a funny story that none of our listeners are going to care about. But the kid I watched it with, we used to watch horror movies all the time. I saw it for the first time today in like 15 years
at
the
really?
Gym. I was like, yeah. I should send him a message. Be like, dude, I saw you today. We watched Frankenhooker later on. But I forgot what I was saying. First time I saw it.
Yeah, no, and we were just talking about the quality of it, and you said it looked like it was
yours said yours was remastered.
So it looked like a 1990 movie
VHS
for me. Mine looked like, I'd say even mid-90s. It was so good. But I will tell you, looking at the box in Cheshire Video, I would have guessed, that was like 75. I even remember the plastic was torn off, and just sitting there, the plastic over the cover.
I'm positive that's what he was going for, but 1990.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. That was crazy.
So I looked up the budget on IMDb. Did you look that up?
You know, I think I saw it, but I didn't actively see it.
I don't believe it to be true. I think whoever wrote it is lying.
What did you write? What did you see?
2.5 million.
Oh no, I did not see that. And my god.
The gross was 205,000.
Yeah, I read I forget if this was this movie. This might have been something else, actually. It might have been like Basket Case, but it was like 38,000. I don't think it was this movie.
For what, gross?
No,
for
cost.
Well, Basket Case was 8 years prior.
Yeah, I think that was a Basket Case I was looking at randomly.
Dude, that's my life. What did you spend the 2.5 million on? Cocaine?
That's funny you say that, because I was going to make the joke later that I'm pretty sure these drugs might be real. They were hitting crack pipes later on in this movie that I was like, those look like legitimate crack pipes. And for a bad movie...
Even though we haven't even started this movie yet, can we just talk about the size of the crack rock that one of those hookers is trying to fit into that skinny? Did you notice that? It was like the size of a fucking watermelon.
Well, just those super crack rocks were just so ridiculous to begin with. And the way they behaved around the crack, oh my god, it was amazing. This movie was amazing.
This is like everything I wanted Zombievers to be.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It wasn't meant to be taken seriously, but it was more fun to watch.
So, and just to go back to Zombievers, I think one of those issues, and I don't know if I talked about this already, I was talking about it with my wife, because we've been watching some trash TV, some trash reality shows, and they're so fun to watch. They're legitimate comedy. And I was like, that's why these shows that try to make fun of dating shows, like they had that Flame of Love or whatever it was called on E, and it was just, a comedy. It was a spoof. And I was like, you don't need a fake comedy when you could watch the real thing and it's three times as funny. Right? And that's kind of like where Zombievers fell into. Like, don't do it on purpose. Just make a bad movie.
Yeah.
Just be like, when they come with you with $1 million, be like, no, I'll take half of that. Like, don't worry about it. I'll take half of that.
Right. Just give me as many mannequins as possible. And we're good.
And we'll spend the rest on drugs. It's fine. I think that's what Hollywood needs is more drugs. I think that's definitely what they need. So if you couldn't tell, guys, we're talking about Frankenhooker.
Yes.
And I've never seen it. First time seeing it.
Well,
I'm so happy I watched this. But we start out with a great distributor logo, a classic. And this is why I also, when I saw it was the 90s, again, I was shocked even though the quality was good. Because that opening logo, Shapiro Glickenhaus Entertainment, I was like, oh man, this is like 82. Like, this isn't even a real company. This is like, this is a drug front. Like, that guy's just doing coke. And like, that guy's Scarface.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous. But yeah, let's get into this movie. It was awesome.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Fantastic.
It was so good.
It's directed by Frank Henenlotter, who did Basket Case and Brain Damage, which are also awesome.
Brain Damage?
Yeah. Not The Dead Alive.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's what I was
different
thinking.
Different one, Brain Damage.
I don't think I've seen that other
It's
one.
Good.
I should check it out.
And he just came back after a long hiatus, and he made a movie with R.A. the Rugged Man, the rapper. They both wrote the script. I haven't seen that one yet. Bad Biology, I think it's called.
I love that guy came out of retirement to be like, you know what? Who's gonna take me out? This rapper.
R.A. the Rugged Man.
This is what's going to get me out of my slump. Forget it. But we open up in a lab. Well, it's not really a lab.
No, it's a kitchen.
It's a kitchen. Yeah, I must have wrote this as it was going and then slowly discovered what was happening. And we see basically a fucking eyeball mashed into a brain that this guy, Jeffrey, who we're introduced to.
Jeffrey Franken.
Oh my God, so stupid. And it's literally an... If you took a human brain and you took an eyeball and you just punched it into the center of the brain, that's what it looks like. And somehow this brain is moving and the eye is blinking.
Yeah. I don't know what he's trying to create, like, or why that would work.
And how he jumps from that to full-fledged reanimation. Right? Like, at least, like, Reanimator... You don't see the slow process. He kind of has this serum.
Yeah.
And he's been working on it for years and he tests it on a cat, works, boom, go to humans.
Fuck, I love Reanimator.
This was like, all right, I'm starting out with this brain and this eyeball I'm working on. Fuck it.
I'm ready.
3 weeks later, there I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do the real body. Like, I can barely get this eyeball brain to work.
And Jeffrey, nobody talks to themselves more than Jeffrey Franken does.
Nobody.
Jeffrey Franken is acting his ass off, but he's just by himself at every scene.
It's so funny. The first thing I'm thinking is, this guy's wearing basically like janitor clothes, and he just shoves a scalpel into this brain, and somehow that makes it work. Why not?
Right? Sure.
Yeah, sure. And I had a note in here. My next note was just about how crystal clear it was. I could not believe it. And I said, it's an 80s classic, so I must have found out it was 1990.
Yeah, mine was not. Mine was like, you just popped in the VH. What? I can't talk. VHS.
VHS.
Wow.
That was the letters.
That was, wow.
Congratulations. So we basically find out that this Jeffrey is kind of a, well, besides a weirdo. He's performing home surgeries. He's doing tummy tucks.
Yeah, because we're introduced to his fiance, who's being called fat, and she's not
fat. The furthest
fat.
Thing from
she's
fat.
Not fat at
furthest
all.
Furthest thing from fat. And they're like, what are you going to do to take care of this? You're like, oh, Jeffrey's going to give me a tummy tuck. And everyone's like, Jeff's not a doctor.
No, he already gave her a tummy tuck. He already performed it. She's like, I didn't know he was a doctor. She's like, well, he's not. He works as a janitor.
That's perfect. That is perfect. Yeah, he works for the electrical company. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. And then even better is she's outside talking to a friend. She comes in, and Jeffrey is working on a brain with an eyeball in it in the kitchen. She walks in, and she says, what's this? Well, it really couldn't be more clear what it is. It's a human brain with a fucking eyeball shoved into it. You got to get away.
He's not even in a lab. He's... At a kitchen table.
During
a cookout where people are bringing food in and out.
Like, you know, when you go to a cookout and there's that one stupid kid that's just like inside playing video games and you're like, get outside. Everyone else is outside. That's Jeffrey, except he's operating.
Unlicensed. So unsanitary.
And where did the brain come from?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Or the eyeball.
Yeah. Well, this intro was perfect. I loved this intro to really start the movie. So this cookout was for his father-in-law, who it's his birthday. And so his fiance says, oh, we got you a great present. She takes off this huge packaging and it's, they call it a lawnmower, but it looks like the biggest snowblower piece of dangerous shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It's like a military vehicle.
Yeah, it is. And she pulls out this remote control and she says, oh, and Jeffrey hooked up this remote control for you so you could do it wirelessly. And she says,
honestly, this is one of the all-time greats in horror openings ever.
I agree. I completely agree. This was amazing. And it really set an awesome tone for the rest of the movie that kind of falls flat. But at this point, I was all in. I was all in on this. It was so awesome. So she's holding up the remote, standing in front of the lawnmower, and she says, well, this button turns it on. And this button, like, I don't know, she said like four things, but really she just says, and this button makes it go forward. And she hits it. And Jeffrey, half-heartedly, I must say, is just like, no.
Dude, it's almost like that kid from Troll 2 when he's yelling now. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. And this lawnmower shreds his fiance, and blood and limbs are
everywhere,
all over the lawn. And that's how we open it up. And you kind of...
That's before the opening credits.
Yeah, that was awesome. I thought that was a great way to start the movie.
Dude, a cold open.
Yeah, yeah, and it was a great one. Like, it was great. It was great. A lot of times those cold opens sometimes have, like, nothing to do, especially in horror. It'll be shocking and then never come into play in the movie ever again.
That was the gist right there.
Yeah, and then literally I knew exactly what was about to happen. Because his fiance is not a hooker.
And then the credits roll, and it's just him talking to himself, which he does the entire movie. He's talking out equations. So you can tell he's like trying to figure out how to reanimate.
Mumbling and being like, I need 600 volts.
He's so monotone.
He is so monotone. And his accent makes me want to throw up. Oh, my God. The worst Jersey accent I've ever heard. He says one word. I wrote it down later. I'm sure I'll find it. It was so ridiculous, but his accent is so bad. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to see if I have it. I know it's in my notes somewhere, but yeah. So
after the credits, it goes back to him. You know, he's working out equations. Yep. You know that he wants to reanimate. And then he pops in like the news report
which
he has recorded. And that news report, I laughed so hard because it shows so much gore. Like, no news would ever show that. And then the way the woman is talking, she's being so callous. Describing her as like a salad, a salad.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then Pete's
mom.
That was Pete's mom?
Yeah, from Pete and Pete, Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that was the mom. Because I looked through the credits to see if anyone had done anything. No, except her. She was the biggest star in the movie.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was because she was in B&B. So I don't know if that really makes her a star. But
she was awesome in that role.
She was so funny. Oh, my God. Yeah. She's like – she is going into gory details about what happened. And
yeah.
Talking about how certain body parts were missing. Yeah. Like a head, which they're like, we don't want to talk about it, but the head's gone.
talking about this right now, what a fantastic opening. Like, it gives you every single piece. It doesn't drag on and make you
No. Just, and it knows what – I think this movie knew exactly what it was. And what are they going to do? Like, drag this on and be – so we're like, oh, it's about a Frankenhooker. It's the fucking name.
Yeah, because I feel like now
– oh, my God. This would be
– who's going to reanimate her?
It would be an hour of, like, the origin story of, like, nothing.
Yeah.
We'd have to watch Jeffrey going to, like – medical school and failing out and then going to electrical, being an apprentice for 10 years.
You're right.
It would be so awful. Yeah,
fuck that.
It'd be this awful origin story and then 30 minutes of Frankenhooker.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be awful. And Jeff's mom comes in and she's very worried about him. She doesn't want him watching this news clip over and over. And again, another person looks at a brain with an eyeball crammed in it and says, what's this?
And that conversation with his mother is so long. It's the longest conversation ever.
It was Kevin Smith length dialogue about nothing. It was the only thing.
Yeah,
was
like
about,
that scene, like that scene in Tusk when Johnny Depp is talking
forever.
Like 30 minutes.
Honestly, I think that was the only reason I didn't like that movie, because I lost so much interest during that scene that I was like,
I don't even want to
watch this at this point. I've lost complete interest.
Yeah,
in
it wasn't that bad, but I mean, it was lengthy.
Very lengthy, and all to basically say, I'm worried about you, Jeff. And by the way, he's got pictures of just his fiance's head all over. Did you notice that?
I did.
All the pictures are just of her head, and they are the worst faces. They're just these, like, dumbfounded faces. It was so strange, so strange. But this guy, Jeffrey, he goes...
he goes and has an Italian dinner with...
This was fucked up. This was when I was like, I think I hate this guy. Like, this guy's a fucking creep. He's eating an Italian dinner with the head of his fiance.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe he's got, seeing as though he has a brain with an eye living in water, maybe the head's going to talk. Nope, it's just a dead head that he pours wine into the mouth and it pours all
over. Yeah, it spills all over the table. So funny.
So ridiculous. I mean, it basically informs the head that that in 2 days a giant storm is coming, and that's when he's going to bring his baby back to life.
You know what's real funny is that the original Frankenstein, like, you needed lightning because it didn't have fucking electricity.
Right.
But you could just... Did just not stick a knife into a toaster, like, and generate it yourself right now.
And you work for an electrical company? So you could, like, take, just like...
a generator.
You could take, like, straight three-phase cables and attach it to it and put more electricity in that than you have in your house. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Why wait for the lightning?
I didn't even think about that until now. That's actually infuriating. He says, I can make you the centerfold goddess of this century.
So he has his dead fiance's head taped onto, like, potential bodies, and they're all just this huge busty chicks.
Porn. He just taped her head to porn and showing it to her as if, you know, as if not only did it, that if she understood, but I, like, in a way, if she could understand what he was saying, he would still be showing her those, being like, look what I could do for you. And she would have been like, what? No, doesn't even look like me. And the other weird thing is he says, you know, I can make you the centerfold goddess of the century, yet we know he's going to pick a hooker's body just based on the title.
Right.
So not exactly a centerfold.
Can we go back to that storm, though? Because did you see the weather report?
Well, that's later.
Oh, that's after.
That's okay. Later. That's later. And I know you do. You know who was in that, right?
What?
The guy?
Who?
Oh, my God.
No, I was too busy laughing at the set.
Oh, yeah. The set was awful. I'll tell you in a minute. You're going to – I'm proud of myself for recognizing him. I'm pretty bad at that. But I recognized him as soon as I saw him because he's very recognizable. But Jeff puts the body back and he starts planning some more. And this guy is just rambling about making life. More monologues of I'm going to make life.
So many monologues.
But he starts getting nervous about having to find fresh parts. Oh, yeah, and this is the weather scene. You're right. You weren't far off. Yeah, so it's like right now. Sorry about that. I'm the asshole. So, yeah, we got this weather scene starring Ed Zachary. Or no, his name's not Ed. John Zachary.
Who?
Zachary.
Zachary?
Zachary.
From the Chiller Theater?
Yeah. He's the weatherman. Yes.
What?
He is the weatherman. 100%. I will guarantee you that. And Zachary, why don't you talk about the weather scene first?
I like that you just described Zachary as very recognizable.
He's one of the
Zachary.
He's one of the ugliest dudes I have ever seen. Dude, I saw him in a split second, I knew it was Zachary.
Zachary doesn't I'm trying to find his IMDb page.
Oh, my God.
Anyone
listening, by the way, will be like, yes, Zachary is hideous as shit. I could spot. He's the easiest Waldo ever. Where's Waldo?
Yeah, you are correct.
Yes.
That was him.
Yeah.
So it's just basically the reason that stuck out to me is because I was laughing so hard because the set is I don't know how to describe it. It's just like, it looks like a 2-year-old made it.
I was just about to say, Zachary might have made it. Zachary made it. Zachary was like, listen, if you put me in this movie, I'm all in for this movie. I'll make the set. I'll just make me a weatherman.
Dude, I want to take back all the ill will I've said to Zachary because he's old as shit. 1918.
He's very old.
Wow.
Yes, he's very, very old. They talk about him on Howard Stern all the time, and Howard's always like, how is he still alive? He was like, he was old when I was a kid, when I watched Chiller Theater. He's like, how the fuck is he still old? And then we get the craziest scene here. So Jeffrey, and I shouldn't say the craziest scene. There's a lot of crazy scenes, but this is up there for me.
Drill?
Yeah.
Dude,
what? And I know this movie's over the top, but I was you want to tone it down a little bit. He's really nervous about we're figuring out he's going to have to kill somebody to get these fresh parts, and he's very nervous about the whole thing, and he wants to back out of it. And he says, "Wait a minute!" And he goes into his bowling ball bag, pulls out a fucking drill, looks at a map of the brain, and is like, "Okay, 51." And just drills a hole in his head. And he's like massaging.
He's talking while drilling his brain.
Talking, yeah, and he's drilling his brain. And I guess we're supposed to assume that this drill is turning off the section of his brain with like empathy and, and stuff. But then he takes a draw and then he's like, I can't do it. So,
but then he does it again.
Yeah, he does it again to just like rev himself up. And that was pretty wild. And he says, if I need female body parts, I'll buy female body parts.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is where he says the word, because this is the word he says that I just wanted to punch him in the face with that horrible accent. He starts driving out. It looks like New York City is my guess.
Yeah, he says he goes to the Van Wyck.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he goes to New York City and he's going through all these areas with all these prostitutes. And he goes, what a buffet. A buffet? Yeah. You jerk. You friggin' jerk. No one has ever said buffet.
You know what? This is 1990 New York. I feel like it was starting to clean up a bit, but then at the same time, I feel like that's really what it looked like. I feel like that he went to a section where it looked like that.
No, 90s were definitely still pretty rough. That, though, that was definitely staged. Like, I mean, that's like 82. That wasn't like Maniac, like just filming on the street. And being like, wow, that set is disgusting. Yeah. Like, oh, that's no, not it's a not set. A set. That's just a camera crew out in the daytime. Like, that was not this. This looked a little bit like a set, actually, now that I think about it. But I don't know if New York was that bad. There were probably areas, but.
I mean, even as a kid, though, like.
I mean, Giuliani was the one where he.
Still.
It was seedy. It was still like pretty seedy.
Adult film.
Oh, yeah, and St. Mark's area was still just St. Mark's place and stuff. That was still just a heroin
shithole. I miss old New York.
I'm going to tell a story here that I don't think I should tell, but I used to work with a guy. He was a mess.
I think you told us during the Maniac.
Did I?
Yeah.
That he said he stabbed a guy in New York? I told that? Yeah. Oh, my God. That is awful.
Allegedly.
I don't know if I edited that out or not, but yeah, this gentleman allegedly claimed he went to New York City just to stab a homeless guy, like just to feel it.
Well,
and I said, you know what? I think we're done here. I'll see you later, pal. And I never talked to him again because that's just – even if that's not real, to claim that is a very strange claim to make.
Stupid asshole.
Yeah, yeah, not a good one. And we hear our first, what a day?
Yeah.
Just like our
– just like the VHS.
Just like the cover, which makes me appreciate that cover a little bit more now, knowing that – that was actually like...
Yeah, and it sounded just like it.
Sounded just like it. That fantastic audio effects on a thing.
On a cardboard box.
Yeah, so this girl approaches the car, hooker, and he's very nervous. He's trying to talk to her. He shows her this huge wad of cash, though, and she just loses her mind. And she runs over to the passenger seat. She's like, let me in.
I also like that some of the prostitutes are already topless. Like, they haven't been paid yet or picked up.
It was insane. It was insane. There were so many boobs in this. And so this girl is trying to get in fearsomely just to get this cash. And Jeffrey hangs out the window and is like, hey, I need more girls. I need a lot more girls. And we see the longest scene of walking I've ever seen in a movie in my life. This prostitute goes, hey, I think it's like Andrea or something. Hey, Andrea, come over here. And I started playing this sexy movie. It was over 20 seconds long of Andrea just walking from a lamppost about 100 yards away to camera.
Real-time walking.
It was real-time walking. It was over 20 seconds. I was like, what is this? And then it eventually concluded with nothing.
It concludes with him watching some talk show on legalizing prostitution.
Yes. Yes, and there are just so many boobs, so many boobs. But she says the prostitutes basically. He says he needs six women.
Yes, six.
Yep. And they say, well, you got to talk to Zorro, and Zorro will let you know if you could have us, basically. Yeah. And he goes into this bathroom. Why the king pimp of New York City is hanging out in a bathroom
with the prostitutes who are having sex with
stalls.
Yeah,
it's very strange. And Zorro's pretty pretty reasonable.
Zorro's also a very silly looking man. Very fit, And he has the thickest caterpillar mustache.
His arms, yeah. This guy is feeling.
And he talks so silly.
Talks so silly. It is the silliest accent. It's so weird. Zorro is the weirdest character I might have ever seen in a movie. He's so weird. And his arms are like double the size of his body. His arms are absolutely enormous. And in any scene, no matter what he's doing, he holds up like a bag of crack. He's just flexing, yeah. Holding the bag of crack over his bicep.
I think I loved Zorro.
I love Zorro. Zorro is amazing. And Zorro basically says, he's a very reasonable guy. He just says, yeah, you can have those girls. Pretty pointless scene, except for the fact that Jeffrey picks up that these girls are willing to do anything for crack. So he gets an idea and he buys some crack from Zorro. Yeah. And this movie just gets more insane as we cut to Jeffrey.
Is that when he's back watching the...
Yes. The
talk show?
Yeah, yeah.
Bugging out about... So some lady wants to legalize prostitution. She has this company called Hooker, which actually was like a clever...
Acronym.
I forget.
I didn't write it down either because I was too busy looking at Jeffrey's insane face.
Jeffrey is freaking out. He's like, "Don't you know that she's right?" And then he starts screaming about how crack is hurting prostitutes.
Yeah, it's insane. And then we find out that he is making super crack to kill them. It was the craziest scene. Like,
why are they doing this to themselves? But he's making super crack.
Yeah, and...
Which is in a huge vial. Dude, it's like what a beaker from the Muppets has, you know?
It was a chemistry set out of the Muppets. It's just smoke pouring out of everything. And just a giant tub of crack rock.
Huge crack rock.
And we're supposed to assume... It looks like we're supposed to assume that this crack rock, like, travels through a tube and falls into and falls into this bin full of crack rock. Yeah. It's like a one of those water...
And, you know, I thought they would take a hit and, you know, die.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
It's so much better than
and
that.
And he says the best part is he's again a monologue. And he says, "I'm not shooting anyone. I'm not stabbing anyone. I'm just putting a lethal dose of crack in their presence." What? You are a terrible person. You could, in an alternate universe, this movie could just be about Jeffrey Franken, the sociopath. The sociopath / psychopath, because he is nuts. And he tests this super crack out on his guinea pig.
Yeah.
Who he is talking sexually to.
That was very weird.
Very strange. And basically, though, he says, you know, sniff up. And the guinea pig smells the smoke and explodes. Straight up blows up. And you're talking about a guy that is trying to...
Harvest body parts,
and he is okay. I thought he was going to be like, "Oh, this is not going to work."
See, even though it was a guinea pig that blew up, I still thought they would just like take a hit and just be dead. You know,
that's what I thought too. That's what I thought after he was like, "Okay," I was like, "Oh no, yeah. That's not the result I would want." But sure, it's probably going to work out for you, but it does and it doesn't. So this asshole Jeffrey decides to dress up as a doctor, and this is the night he is going to have his party with the six prostitutes.
So he picks him up. He is dressed as a doctor. Which, did doctors ever really wear that like headband with the reflection glass?
I mean,
on their forehead.
I've watched some time period movies and shows. You're talking about Mad Men. You're talking about older stuff. The American Horror Stories had some older stuff.
Yeah, but what's the point of that? It's a mirror, right?
It's nothing. My guess is it reflects light to what you're looking at, because it was before they could put a light on their head, I guess. But I don't think anyone.
This was 1990. I mean, I was alive in 1990.
Where would he even get that?
I don't remember my doctor having that.
Or that would be like the biggest giveaway that this guy is not a doctor. Like, I mean,
so he brings these prostitutes back. He's dressed as a doctor with one of those things, and then he is just inspecting them, which is awesome because.
Oh my god.
He's taking magnifying glasses to their nipples and is poking and squeezing and going underneath their legs, examining everything.
Awesome. Utterly awesome.
But he's not doing utterly. it in a sexual way.
No, not at all.
He's looking at their body parts.
Oh my god. The pun utterly when you're talking about a woman's nipple is the worst pun ever. And I was hoping for more to write down, and that was all they could come up with. Awesome. Utterly awesome. Oh, Jeffrey.
Dude, that actor has it made. No acting chops, just lands in this movie and just pokes porn stars' tits all
the whole time.
Probably multiple takes.
Probably hundreds of takes.
Crawling under the legs.
Do you think those porn actresses could actually act? They were probably all over the place. They were probably screwing up those takes left and right. Oh, my gosh. And that's what we got. Those were our final cuts, by the way. And, yeah. So him and these girls, they start getting into it a little bit because he's running out of time and he can't decide which girl. He has to pick one of the six.
Well, yeah, he wants to pick the best one.
He wants to pick the best one, and he made a deal with Zora that he was going to at least take one of them, and he can't make a decision. So they get into a fight and he says, "You want your money? You want your money?"
Wait, no.
Let me get my New York. "You want your money? You want your money?" And he throws the bag at him.
No, because he's like, "I can't do this to any of you." And then he's screaming at them. He's screaming at you. "Don't you see what I'm doing?" Yeah. Like, no. Why would they?
How would they know? How would they ever know? I mean, it is weird that you're acting like a doctor.
Oh, you're not going to kill us now.
Yeah. Oh, that's what this is. You're harvesting our body parts.
"Don't you see what I'm doing?"
Yeah, it should have picked up on that by the nothing, by the absolutely no signs that I gave.
So he throws the money bag.
They open it and they find the money and a gigantic bag, which, by the way, he said was for one of them. He's like, "That's only for one of you." And it was like, must have been 13 pounds of crack rock in there in a giant Ziploc bag. And these girls go bananas.
Yeah, nuts.
Bananas. And the weirder thing, though, and by the way, I never want to be at a party like this.
Oh, no. There's lots of boobs.
Think about it. No, you don't want to be in a party where there's that many hookers and crack. That sounds like a nightmare.
Seemed pretty fun before the explosions.
Oh, well, I think the explosions seem more fun. But the weirdest part of this is there's music playing in the background.
I know. It was some ridiculous knockoff of like White Lines by Grandmaster Flash.
And there's just talking in it. And it's the only things I picked up were "Russian letters never grow old." What the fuck is that? And "never say no." And it was just this thing. And even when the song comes on, he's like, "That's the devil's music. Turn it off. Turn it off. And I was like, did I miss something at the beginning of this? Like,
no, it was just
weird.
It was just they recorded music so they didn't have to pay rights.
And should we talk about those really weird statements he made when the two girls started kissing each other?
Oh, it was like, what was it, like, "Your body's not supposed to do that" or something?
"Stop, that is not natural. Your body wasn't meant to do that." Is this anti-gay film? Is this anti-gay propaganda film? It was strange.
I read somewhere that this was a pro-feminist film.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, I assure you it is not a pro-feminist film.
I'm sold.
When we get to the ending, we'll talk about an alternate ending that would have been more pro-feminist, but it was not pro-feminist. It was not pro-feminist at all, as a matter of fact. It's very womanizing, and he kills six hookers right now.
Right now. So they start smoking the super crack.
And they are like putting these giant rocks.
I mean, the tubes are so skinny and the rocks are like I can't even describe it. It's like,
they're like golf
a
ball
straw
size.
And then like a fist.
A McDonald's straw and some of them were even bigger than a golf ball. They're like
the size of your fist.
Tangerine.
Just trying to put it on and light it.
Yeah, I'm trying to light it. Like, this is crazy. And the girls start saying, the first one says, "It's awful hot in here." And he's just yelling, "Hit the deck, hit the deck." What the fuck? The acting in this, the lines in this are just ridiculous. Yeah. Just ridiculous. We see the first one, boom, she explodes.
Explodes.
Then two, then three, then four and five.
And you see a leg that's just flying through the air, but it's clearly whoever's behind the camera.
Yeah, just holding
it in front of them. It's going real slow.
100%. It is so ridiculous. And honestly, this was the most disappointing scene in the movie for me. This is where the movie kind of lost me, only because this was a perfect opportunity to just throw blood everywhere.
They had to cut back from the MPAA rating.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sucks, because did they really care? Did they think this is going to be
That's what I'm saying. Like, why not just go with it?
I'd honestly rather you cut some of the ridiculous titty scenes out. The magnifying glass on the nipple was a little much. I mean, give me some blood, because this was literally just like sparklers going off.
But it wasn't even like that bad. Like, you know,
I was let down by it. But Zorro is pissed. because the girls are late. So he goes up there. He starts trying to kick down the door. Kicks it down as a girl's exploding.
Zoro's the best.
Zoro is the best. Zoro opens the door and a hooker's head comes flying at him 100 miles an hour and knocks him out. Ooh, ooh. There's a lot of grunts and stuff in this movie. It's ridiculous. Oh my gosh. I have so many notes on this movie and I'm not even mad about it. There's some movies where I write a shitload of notes and I'm pissed. This one is not one of them.
Yeah, this one
was just so fun to watch. I have so much to say.
I wish I could like pinpoint exactly what it is, because in some movies, when you see something as shitty as like the leg going, you're like, wow, that was really shitty. Right. But something about this, you're like, that was awesome, but it had no effect to it. It was just clearly a mannequin leg.
What is it about it? Like,
I've been trying to figure it out for years.
It's impossible.
I don't know what makes one good and one not enjoyable.
Yeah. So Jeffrey gets out of there, picking up the bags and putting them in garbage bags, saying shit like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this. This wasn't supposed to happen.
That's exactly what he meant.
It's 100%. Maybe not six of them, but you were going to kill one of them.
Yeah.
And you had enough crack rock to kill
all
millions. Millions of people.
He brings the body parts down to his lab.
Yep.
And he has a plate full of, do you remember?
No.
He has a plate. It's just filled with tits.
Oh, yeah. That was ridiculous. They just couldn't help themselves.
And they're all still firm.
I love all the breasts survive.
Like, you could just take off a breast and it'd still be like big and like.
Yeah, plump. It was ridiculous. Like, nothing's falling out of them. They're just slabs of meat. It was so ridiculous. And basically, this is like kind of when the movie starts slowing down a little bit. To me.
Yeah.
To me, this scene was very long.
I skipped forward in my notes a little bit. Like, I didn't, like before I was, like, writing down everything.
Me too.
And here, I just kind of went to the main
point. Same here, because it really gets kind of slow
here. I don't want to say slow, because it was still enjoyable.
It was enjoyable. Like, it just, not a lot's happening.
Yeah, I think the first half was more ridiculousness.
I think they were like, oh, shit, we need
a Frankenhooker.
We need to extend this movie longer than an hour. Because at this point, it's an hour, and Frankenhooker is made.
Yeah.
It's actually less than an hour, I think. So he basically puts Frankenhooker together, gets the storm, they get the lightning strike, he goes down. The typical Frankenstein movie, oh, I failed. She's not alive. Elizabeth, what happened? Every Frankenstein fucking movie. And then, want a date? Looking for some action?
First thing that she says, want a date?
Looking for some action? Want some company? Oh my God, I wonder how that voice is going to come out on this recording. It's probably going to be like, but there's no other way I can do it. Do you hear my giant gorilla voice? It takes a lot for me to hit those high notes. And she smacks Jeffrey down because he's got no money.
Yeah.
Knocks his ass out.
Which is funny because she still has the head and brain of Elizabeth. She just has like the arm and boobs of hookers.
That's it.
But she talks like the hookers. But she has all their memories.
She is, but not even all of their memories, just like the last 2 days of memories from the hookers and just about Jeffrey. It's really strange. And Jeffrey, she goes off into the night. She's out of here. She's out into New York City, out into the blue. Jeffrey wakes up. He runs outside to try and find her, and he says, what does she want a date for? She wanted money? Jeffrey, are you fucking stupid?
Well, yes.
Well, yeah. Oh, but not. And Jeffrey can't figure out what happened, and then he's like, oh, I get it. She's mixed with hookers.
Yeah.
Fucking jerk. And Elizabeth is just out in New York City, basically killing everyone.
She's just slapping people around.
For no
money. Pushing them. Left and right.
Imagine if prostitutes were that aggressive.
The faces that this actress is making is so funny while she's talking.
I love her. I think she's so funny. She's the best actress in the movie, I think. She cracks me up. Those faces, the twitching of the mouth. She was really funny. Like that's some
good. I wish when I talked to her a couple months ago, I wish I just had her like make faces.
Oh, was she there?
Yeah. I wish I just had her make faces.
God damn it.
She was talking to me about how people come up to her all the time and they're like, will you please sign this VHS that I stole from
store. We talked about that. Yeah, that's awesome. Oh my God. And she picks up this like Danny DeVito wannabe.
He reminded me more of – I just mumbled so bad. He reminded me more of the dude from Human Centipede 2.
Very much. It's like Danny DeVito plus that guy. And it's awful.
This guy's out of control.
This guy is out of control. This guy is hamming it up. This guy is thinking, I've made it to Hollywood. I am the star of Frankenhooker.
He is overacting. That is for sure. He's giving it his all.
He is giving it everything. Give it everything you got. And he's very excited to have sex with Frankenhooker.
Oh, yeah.
Very excited.
And even though she's purple and white and, like, I mean, not the white, like, pale.
The most terrifying colors I've ever seen with a black forearm. With a black woman's forearm. The weirdest.
With Heather thing. Hunter's forearm.
It was crazy. I actually like the makeup, though. I think they did a pretty cool job of it.
I like everything.
For such a cheap movie, I was expecting so much worse, but the colors that they did for the bodies.
A cheap $2.5 million movie.
Well, knowing that now, it was spent all on painting her. Probably every scene. Repainting her every scene.
Well, to briefly sum up this guy that she picked up, she fucks him, electrocutes him, explodes him, and then his decapitated head says, oh, that was wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, it's not attached to the body.
Well, his head's, yeah, disattached from the body. And she's basically, the next few scenes are just so weird. And this is where just, like, why I didn't have to write a lot. She basically leaves. Then she sees another guy. She kisses him. He fucking explodes. And she's just still on the loose. And Jeffrey's looking for her. And that's basically the next, like,
yeah, my notes were exactly that. Another guy kisses her, explodes. She loves pretzels. More explosions.
What was the pretzel joke? Was that a callback?
Because in the very beginning, like right after we see Jeffrey playing with the brain and the eyeball, she goes outside and she's eating pretzels. And the girl's like, I would eat the unsalted pretzels if I were you or something like that. Because she calls her fat.
Yeah. So
that's why she gives her that lady that look when she's like, ease up on the pretzels.
Well, that went way over my head. I missed that completely. That is, I guess that's funny. But it doesn't make sense because she's in the hooker's brain. Whatever. Okay. I'm not going to try and do it. I'm not going to do it this time. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm making you a promise. Unlike any other movie we've ever talked about, I refuse to pick this apart.
Yeah, no.
Great joke. Best joke ever. Best joke ever. Meanwhile, she goes into this bar with the pretzels.
Yeah.
And Zorro's there.
Yes.
And he overhears her because she's just repeating the same lines over and over as the hooker, which is like, Jeffrey, you want to be a doctor? You got a big thermometer? Just like, oh, yeah, I'll be your patient. Stuff like that. Weird shit that she had already said to Jeffrey in the last couple of days while she was among the living.
Yeah.
But Zorro picks up on this, and he's wise to it, but he doesn't understand who she is. He's very confused by the whole thing. He's like, you got my mark on you, but you're not one of my girls. Who are you? And he punches her head off.
He literally punches her head off.
Head off. It's held on by like her spinal cord, but it's flat to her back. It is awesome.
Yeah.
I love Zorro so much. But Jeffrey comes in and he gets her head back on and he rushes her out. And meanwhile, people are fleeing the bar.
Because she killed Zorro's friend by doing something with him.
He was like eating her.
Yeah, he's going down on her.
Yeah,
electrocuted, smoking through his feet.
And smoke is everywhere because she just electrocuted a human being. And all these people are choking on
human flesh. How bad do you think Frankenhooker's vag smells?
It's awful. Why would you even go down there?
Frankenhooker's vag is probably the worst.
Okay, so the one guy that Danny DeVito that wants to have sex with her, I kind of get it. You can imagine one guy in the world is so desperate that he can overlook the gigantic scars and all the different colors and all that. But the guy going down on her, stop.
He's
it.
Doing it for
and she's dressed as a prostitute. So it's like, and he's like doing it for free. He's like, I might be in love with you. Let me try this out. Like, let me woo you here. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, that guy deserved it.
Yeah.
He deserved his fate.
And so Jeffrey takes her home. And this is, I don't know how Zorro figures out where he lives, but
but he shows up.
He shows up. Zorro does not have a car. And I mean, Jeffrey takes her and is in a car and out of there in a split second. I don't even think he sees the car leave. Zorro comes out well after the car's gone.
Yeah.
Yet somehow finds his way to his house. But Jeffrey brings her to the house. He's trying to get her back to life. He zaps her one more time. And again, the whole like, oh, I love you, Elizabeth. Like, what happened? And she's back.
Yeah.
Liz is back, and with all of her actual memories, she's saying, she's calling him Jeffrey. And,
yep.
And the best, the second best line of the movie, he says, "I brought you back to life, Elizabeth." let me get into character. "I brought you back to life, Elizabeth." She says, "How? I don't know. A bunch of things I got written down over there." Best explanation ever. Best explanation ever. Because in that situation, no one's going to be like, "Well, you see,
yeah, dear tell Elizabeth, all the theories, yeah, and mathematical, yeah, yeah, equations.
I did this and this and this."
It'd be like shit over there.
Any normal person's like, "No fucking clue. There's a pile of shit over here. I've been working on it for like." Remember that fucking brain with the eyeball you saw in the kitchen, like the day you died? That's it. This is you. That's ta-da! You should have picked up on that. We were engaged. We were engaged, you bitch.
And so Jeff Zorro appears.
Oh my god, Jeffrey's pouring his heart out to her. He's saying, "I love you so much," because she's pretty pissed about the body she's received, and I don't blame her. And she's, "I love you, Elizabeth." And Zorro sneaks in and straight up
decapitates.
Fucking head goes flying off.
Jeffrey's
head. Zorro is alive and well, thankfully.
Well,
not for long.
Not for long, because as soon as Jeffrey's head comes off, Elizabeth is yelling at him, and then Zorro is attacked by these deformities that have been in Jeffrey's.
Which makes no sense compared to anything else in the movie. And did you say this guy directed Basket Case?
Yeah.
It had to have been the same special effects guys. Because these are
like Belial.
Yeah, this was Belial. This was like six different Belials, but just they were probably Belial prototypes.
Yeah.
With just boobs glued on.
That he's been saving for 8 years. Finally.
Finally, I get to use all the Belial. This was supposed to be for Basket Case 4. When Belial has a family. Have you seen all the Basket Cases?
Oh, yeah.
Are there any other Belials or no?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. like other...
I hope my memory is serving me well, because I was under the influence at the time of watching one of them. I think it was the third one, and I'm pretty sure Belial has like a Belial car, which which has the dice.
I just sip my coffee but it's, everywhere.
But it's like...
Oh, my God.
Someone tell me if I'm right, because I remember it being almost like Krang from Ninja Turtles. But so he's like driving this like big Belial mobile that looks like Belial, and it has like dice hanging from the windshield in it. Oh, and he has kids. I think that's the third one.
Well, he does like his sex. He does like to have sex, or try to, or I don't know. That first Basket Case is really good. I've not watched the sequels though.
I mean, I remember really enjoying them, especially that one with the... I remember laughing really hard.
You know, I'd probably like... It sounds like I'd like the sequels more, because the first one was like super over the top, but it was also pretty serious, and it was kind of like sad in a way. Like, it was just kind of weird.
Hmm.
And I wish there was more straight up just ridiculous laughs.
Just ridiculous.
Like Belial driving cars. And Belial children. Car. Like, that sounds perfect to me. That sounds like the perfect horror movie. So... Jeffrey's decapitated. Zorro has been... These baby Belials have pulled Zorro back into the freezer, which I guess we're assuming he's dead. But Elizabeth has an idea. And Jeffrey starts waking up, and Elizabeth is standing in front of him. We get a pan out. And he is in a woman's body.
Yes.
I don't know whose nice body. No, whose body is that?
It was all the left.
I thought it was
parts.
Going to be his mom's, which would have been so fucked up.
Oh, my God.
You know, it was a big woman, too, like his mom. But, yeah. So he's in a woman's body, and he is not happy. Not happy at all. And it basically just ends with Jeffrey moaning. And he's just in a woman's, huge woman's body. And not even, like, huge. Just, like, a very large woman.
Again, she explains, like, how did you put me together? And she's just like, yeah, you kept good notes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You kept very good notes that you told me about. And that's the end of the movie.
Going back to Basket Case 3, the cover of Basket Case 3 is a Belial crib.
So is that the real one? Is that the real cover? Because yeah. That looks like it's alive.
No, no, that's it.
Oh, that's crazy. They straight up stole that from It's Alive.
Congratulations. I'm pretty sure that's the one.
We need to do It's Alive. It's like one of my favorite
Dwayne
movies.
Recovers from his delusional breakdown to find his freakish basket-bound brother, Belial, will soon become a father.
What? I need to watch all the sequels now, because how does it get from one to that? From the original to that, where Belial is basically non-functioning.
I'm positive he had this car. But I digress. So yeah, Frankenhooker.
Yeah, so what'd you think?
Loved it.
It was so damn good. I think this is the first movie that we both really, really liked that we've reviewed.
Really? Ever?
Joe, I'm pretty sure we start out on some movies and we're like, this movie was pretty cool. And then by the end, we're like, this movie is fucking dredge.
I think we liked The Maniacs.
Oh, Maniac was great. Yeah, that was true. That's true.
I will say my fiance watched this and Zombievers, and as soon as this one ended, she said, well, that was way better than Zombievers.
Yeah, and...
which I was surprised with.
You know what, though? After thinking about Zombievers, I actually liked that movie.
Wait, what?
I do. I came into it, and I think in the podcast you'll hear me, and I'll say, I think I said I liked it, and then I slowly changed my mind as we talked about it. But overall, it's not bad. It's a good movie. I just don't like movies that are like, get it? It's a bad movie. Wink, wink.
No, that's what we were saying. Yeah.
Just make a bad movie.
Right.
Well, we get it. Just make it shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all.
But Frankenhooker's reigns supreme on that one.
Yeah, for sure. So we actually have some great fan mail that I am not prepared to pull up. But I'm working on. And we had some great fans send us some emails about Zombievers, and a great fan on our Facebook, new guy that started following us, and he gave us a great idea for our next show. So we're going to talk about that real fast. We'll just read these. They're pretty cool. So Camp Counselor Frying Pan, our buddy on Tumblr, she said, oh my God, Zombievers. Looking forward to listening to the new episode. I have a story about Zombievers. My friend Casey and I have horror movie days where we just sit around the house and watch up to 5 movies in one sitting. That's a lot of movies.
5 movies.
Yeah.
It's my kind of weekend.
One of the guys from that Frasier podcast, that Matt Myra, said he did 6 movies in a day once, and that's his record. And I was like, that's a fucking lot of movies.
Can I say first names? Yeah, that's not giving anything away. So no. Our buddy Paul.
Yeah.
I went to college with him. He once watched 52 movies in 1 week while going to class and going to all of his classes and going to the gym daily.
How did he do that?
Dude, I don't know, but it was, and he lived with me and I knew it because he just like didn't sleep and he'd be starting a new movie.
How can he do that? I tried to do.
Dude, that's the record, 52.
So I've been keeping track. I've been watching a lot of horror movies just to be educated when we talk about this, have a lot of references. And before I bought my house, I was on – I thought I was nuts by being able to do like 30 in a 30-day month. Like I do one a day.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. That's tough. Fucking
dude,
it
was 1 week. I wish we could do calls. Like just call him up right now and be like, remember that time you did that? How did you do that?
Probably should. We should probably do that. We'll do it another time because right. That way you can text. We'll do it on the next episode.
All right.
And you can text him and let him know we're going to call him.
And have put him on speaker.
Yeah, just do it on speaker.
It'll be our first interview.
The guy that watched the guy that watched movies in a week. What movies? Does he have a list?
He did at the time. Well, you know, he collected DVDs. At one point, he had like 1,300.
What?
Yeah. If you go into his basement right now at his new house, it's just bookcases upon bookcases of DVDs.
Oh my gosh.
He's still buying DVDs.
What?
Even though he owns Netflix.
Dude, I don't understand that. And I see a lot of people on Instagram post their horror movie collections and it's like 6 shelves full of DVDs. And I get it. I like a lot of the artwork. I think it's really great.
See, I do buy still, but I mean, I should have rephrased that because I like, and what you're saying, I like buying to collect and stuff.
Yeah.
Like have a collection. I still do that to support it. But like he goes like every Tuesday when new movies like come out.
And just like, buys movies. It would be like I see some special edition Texas Chainsaw Massacres, like with cool cover.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, I got to get that. Like that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because I love that movie. I wouldn't just go and be like, meh, sure, Interstellar, Selma, sure, I'll buy them all.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. What? That's what he does. He goes at like midnight at Walmart and buys them.
Crazy. Yeah. And they're so expensive. If you're going to buy them all, you might as well just wait.
Wait.
Yeah. Just buy them all, wait. And then you, wow.
Well, I just totally hijacked your reading of this
email. No, that was an incredible story. And we will interview Paul soon.
He may be angry.
Yeah, he'd probably be super pissed. So she says, you know, my friend Casey and I have horror movie days where we sit around and watch up to 5 movies in one sitting. We watched Zombievers, and right as it ended, Casey's fiance came home and she started it up and we immediately watched it again.
Which is what we were talking about with Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly. You said the exact same thing. You immediately watched it. Now, I enjoyed Zombievers quite a lot, but I don't know that it's twice in a row good.
Yeah.
Interested to hear what you all thought of it. No, not twice in a row.
It's not.
Not twice in a row. And we did it twice in a row that day because we watched it again here. So I don't think we should really comment on that because we did it.
But thanks for sharing.
Yeah, no, that was an awesome email. I was really happy that she sent us that. Another Zombievers one we got was our buddy Misty, who I actually know in person, in real life, IRL.
Do I know her?
No. Huh. I know her through my wife. She says, listening to this makes me both want to watch this now and never watch it ever. It still doesn't sound as bad as, and let me know if you've heard of this, Axe Giant, The Wrath of Paul Bunyan. Have you ever heard of
that? No, but now I want to.
I guess it's on Netflix. So she says, seriously, if you haven't watched that, I don't know if I can recommend it. It's just terrible. It should still be on Netflix. I look forward to hearing what you think of the attractiveness of its actors, which her and her husband have dubbed Idaho Pretty, which I guess that's like Texas Hot or whatever. Sure. Yeah, stuff like that. And the inconsistent CGI and the absolutely baffling plot.
I cannot wait to watch
it. I think we might have to do it for the show. That sounds absolutely incredible. Axe Giant, The Wrath of Paul Bunyan. What the fuck? What the fuck is that? And then finally, last...
Is Paul Bunyan a monster? Like
Well, if memory serves... Your cat or your fiance is dead. One of them killed each other. There was a murder in this house. No, Paul Bunyan was not a monster, but if we know anything about horror movies and fairy tales and fables, they just randomly turn them into monsters and say, deal with it. Sure. Leprechauns, Rumpelstiltskin, Jack Frost. We can be here all night. So, new fan. Added us on Facebook, which all of you guys should do. I'm going to try to make our Facebook page more cool. Brian, I don't know if I should say his full name, but yeah. It's like on our page. But
I would just say Brian.
Brian J. He sent us a note on Facebook, and he said, you guys need to do an Essentials of Horror episode. It would be neat to hear what you guys think is classic horror. Couldn't be more accurate. I think that is genius. That's one of those topics that we could probably talk about forever.
I feel like I have a lot of work cut
like
out for me.
6 weeks.
Be so hard to 6 weeks. Pinpoint.
Yeah, I mean, and what I think I told him, I said, you know what? That's a genius idea. And I wanted to do these kind of quarterly specials for us where we really get in depth and it's like a 2-part episode. And I think this is what we should do. I think we should do this for this summer. It'll be our summer special and really talk about. If you had to, no one's ever seen a horror movie in their life, and you are getting ready,
yeah.
You say, what is horror movie? What is a horror movie? This is what you need to watch, and you'll know what horror is.
So would you tackle it chronologically?
I think I would not. I think I would tackle it in kind of subgenres. But chronologically. So I would probably start out with – so do you know what I mean? So I – because – really, chronologically is by subgenre. I mean, you're starting with monsters.
Yeah.
Because that's all there was.
Right.
There wasn't anything else back then. You can kind of talk about Psycho being that shift in,
yeah.
Oh, shit. That's not a fucking monster. That's just a nutty dude.
Right.
That's crazy. And I don't know. You can kind of split it up where that were chronologically.
I like it.
There's a lot of ways you can do it. But we'll have to think of that ourselves. But I think that's what we're going to do. But Brian, because he came up with the awesome idea, I asked him what he thought, and he wrote a pretty cool response to us, and I'm just going to read it here because I think it's absolutely awesome. And by the way, we kind of did talk about our essentials for Halloween on our old podcast.
Yeah, we did.
And it was, and that's when we decided we should probably It was the only time we were passionate during that entire. We had this old podcast. It was like 10 episodes, and it's just about pop culture. And the only time we were passionate was when we were talking about horror movies. And we were like, hey, why don't we actually talk about something we give a shit about? And now we're
not
here.
Not Who's the Boss, not season 7, episode 2.
Yeah, it's accurate. Yes, it's exactly what I mean. So Brian tells us what he thinks is his essential horror, and I kind of put him on the spot on it. So, you know, I think it's a great answer. He says, I generally have two periods of time that to pick from: pre-Texas Chainsaw Massacre and post-Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Kind of like it. It's kind of like what I said about Psycho. In the former, I have the Universal monsters, the Toho Kaiju stuff, and the really old horror like the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, Vampire, and maybe Ujetsu. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Is the Vampire with a Y? Vampire?
Yeah, Vampire, yeah. Yeah, I never, yeah. He says, they aren't serious and feature very little gore, but they have paved the way for the films that came after. Completely agree. In the post-Texas Chainsaw Massacre era, there's a lot that I like. First off, there was Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It was that movie that was spoken of in a quiet reverence, and I admit that I watched it in broad daylight and was scared out of my mind. Then you have that's because that movie seemed real.
Yeah, sure.
That was crazy.
Imagine 74 when it came out.
Yo, it was nuts. Well, back in 74, it was like, well, you can't write that this is true footage, and it can't be a lie. They wrote it on a movie.
Why would you say something that's not true?
Right. Like, that's kind of how it was back then. Like, wait, they said it. Like, there was no internet to just discredit everybody. Then you have the big three: Myers, Voorhees, and Krueger. When Johnny Depp dies in the first Nightmare, I was absolutely shocked and awed. Then towards the end of the 80s, there was Alien and Predator. Some would claim they are sci-fi, but I put them in the horror category. I agree with that. Because they show that alien life wasn't E.T. or Mac from Mac and Me.
Mac and Me.
Two very interesting choices there. I don't think, if you told Steven Spielberg you put E.T. and Mac and Me in the same category, he'd probably shoot you.
He'd roll over in his grave.
Then the 90s was a lost era for me. It was dominated by Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer style horror.
He's right.
Yep. This kind of self-relevant postmodern claptrap didn't do it for me. I kind of got away from horror for a little bit, but High Tension brought me back, and I fell in love with the French New Extremity stuff.
Fuck yeah. I like this guy.
I'm kind of with him on it. I mean, I was watching the horror movie in the 90s, but I was like, I remember we were in high school middle school, high school. And I remember I would be the guy that was there, and I was like, it was like a group of kids that you were with, and you'd be like, this fucking sucks. And everyone was like, that was fucking terrifying. Dude. And I was like, what the fuck's the matter with all of you?
Before I said that, I saw that dude at the gym that I watched Frankenhooker with for the first time in years. And it was the same type of shit. Like, me and him were like true horror heads. And people would be like, I still know what you did last summer. It was awesome. And we'd be like, let's just watch Hellraiser 2 for the 30th time instead of watching this. Like, why are we watching this?
It's true. And I think that any horror fan was like that. And because we were kids and you didn't have this access to Netflix or anything, it was kind of what you were stuck to. So you kind of avoided it. So I'm with you on that. That was the same with me. And again, High Tension was another similar experience for me.
I saw it in theaters. I drove so far to see it.
Oh, did you?
Theaters.
I tried so hard. I couldn't find anywhere. And when it finally came out on DVD, I think I bought it on eBay to get it early. Somebody had like early access.
Me and Paul. Paul saw it. We drove real far to see it.
Oh, my God.
We got to get Paul on the show.
I was so pumped about that. That movie was awesome. So he says he fell in love with the New Extremity stuff. Oh, my gosh. I'm all over the place. I fell in love with the New Extremity stuff. Martyrs and Frontiers. Now I'm in love with the new stuff Ty West and Adam Wingard are doing. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
My man crush on Adam is out of control.
Yeah. To pick essentials is hard, but I think you have to go with Chainsaw, Myers, Voorhees, Krueger, Dawn of the Dead, Alien, Cannibal Holocaust.
Yes. Yes.
And then he wrote Or Necromantic.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay. I don't know that one.
You know,
I think you had it on your list. I've never seen it. For the pure transgression, Cannibal Holocaust or Necromantic for the pure transgression elements, and Irreversible for the new approach to horror.
I like this guy.
Fucking awesome, right?
Did he say how many? Like, I feel like we should set a limit Because I can list like 50.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it would probably have to be a limit. And maybe, yeah, we'll have to see what we do. I guess it would be like, yeah, we'd have to figure it out. It would just be like, what's realistic for somebody to be like, here's a platter of movies.
That's the approach you have to take.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, somebody who's never seen a single horror movie.
Like, here, you can watch these over the course of a month. A normal human being, not Paul.
be done by lunch.
Here's 200 movies. Watch it by the end of the month. But that's it for the show, guys. We appreciate all of you guys for sending those in. Thank you, Misty. Yeah, thank you, Brian. Thank you, Camp Counselor Frying Pan. Thank you, Joseph Magnuson. Thank you, Evil Dana. You guys are all awesome. We appreciate all your support. Horror Harbor, you're awesome. There's some other peeps that...
Check out the sticker that we made.
Oh, yeah. We made a new sticker. Hopefully, we'll get those made pretty soon. I just have to find some available funds. We'll get those made. We're going to be at the horror convention in Connecticut, July 18th. And once we get those stickers in, leave us a good review, and I will mail you one. No charge. And it's got to be good. Don't give me 3 stars and think I'm going to send you a sticker. Don't give me 4 stars and think I'm going to send you a sticker. What's the point of 4 stars? Either you love it or you hate it. If you hate it, don't leave anything. Just don't ever listen to it again.
I think I agree. Like, I can see a 3-star.
Like, no. Well, no.
You're like, eh.
No.
I wouldn't, if somebody else put it on. Yeah, 3 stars, like, if somebody else put it on, I wouldn't be like, please turn this off immediately.
Yeah, but then why even rate it? Like, it's not like,
you wouldn't.
It's not like a private rating. Like, a private rating, you're like, yes, I will give them a 4 because their technical expertise is not great. But, like, for the rating purposes of iTunes, like, just... A 5 or out. 1. Yeah. 5 or nothing. If you really hate them, like, just whatever. Anyway, whatever. So anyway, yeah, if you guys give us 5 stars, we'll be dishing out those stickers soon. I'll let you guys know. We got to order them soon anyway because of the convention that we're supposed to hand them out at.
That we don't have licenses to hand them out at?
No. Well, my friend has a table there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. He does horror.
The makeup?
The makeup guy. Yeah. So he's got a table. So I think I was going to leave some there and...
Word.
Hopefully. But then just little shits will take whatever. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Harley Poe, for allowing us to use the song Gorehound off the album Pagan Holiday. Find them at harleypoe.com or facebook.com/harleypoe. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/IHateHorror, I think. I'm on Twitter at how many times am I going to say it? At I Hate Horror Show.
I'm at Jovi421. We're on Instagram.
Yep.
Boognish1985.
And I think I'm at I Hate Horror Show still. Yeah. And that's a wrap. And and if you guys are interested, we'll probably do a Periscope live one of these nights if we can get you fools to watch. Because I just don't want to do it for strangers that are like, assholes, who are these nerds? Stop talking. Nerds. Turn this off. And you're like, just go to another channel. Why are you watching us? Get the fuck out of here, you jerk. Have you used that Periscope app?
Nah.
Oh my gosh. Yet. It's so fucking strange. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. It's the best way you can help us, and we really appreciate it. You guys just downloading it. It's been an awesome week. You guys have really been helping us out with the downloads. They've been crazy. Oh, and I wanted to plug Promote Horror too. I think the Twitter handle is at Promote Horror. Awesome guy. He's got so much stuff going on, and he's got a fan fest in Miami that he's looking for sponsors for. So give him a plug because he helps us out a lot. All right, guys, that's it. And we'll see you in a while. We won't see you, and it won't be a while. It's exactly 2 weeks.
Two weeks from now, you'll hear us.
Yeah. All right. I do it every fucking time. Good night, guys.
Thank you.
Adios.